that distance, from that one. So one time I was reading where Srila Gopishodas Babaji Maharaj, he was on the question of whether or not we can accept Bhaktivinoda Thakur's conclusion that this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, when already there are other people who are saying there are other places. Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj was questioned on this, and he explained that these transcendental places, they can only be revealed in the mind and the heart of somebody who's very, very, very completely pure, who's actually a servant of Lord Chaitanya. So his inner meditation, he can see these things, they manifest to him. It's not something done by somebody who wants to make money or wants to set up a center here or some worldly aspiration. It's not sufficient. One actually has to have a very pure heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was certainly like that. So he discusses where the different houses are, and they were established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So first this one. This is Shiva Sangam, then there's Advaita Bhavan, and then there's Gadadha Angam. Angan and Bhavan are two different words, mean like a house. So Srivas Thakur was like to Sachi, sort of like a friend. Malini, the wife of Srivas, and Sachi Devi were very good friends. So Srivas Thakur was older than Nimai. He was like his father's age. And he had three brothers. There were four brothers in that family, and they came originally from East Bengal, in a place called Shalet. And they had moved here to this area, and they were very devotional, very religious, very very serious Vaishnavas. And of course in the Panchatattva we know that Srivas Pandit is in actuality representing the tattva of a devotee. Is Narada Muni, who is in that form of the five different tattvas that make up the absolute truth, the five different principles. One of them is the devotee. Another one is the very confidential devotee, who is the internal energy of the Lord, that is Gadadhar. Another one is the manifestation of Krishna. That means there's Krishna, or there's Lord Chaitanya. Then there is the first manifestation. Who comes first? That is Balaram. And then all the other forms that come, all the incarnations, all the different forms of that come, the Narayan, Vishnu, all the Leela avatars, the Guna avatars, the Yuga avatars, all the expansions all come from Balaram. So there is first Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Balaram, manifestation, Nityananda, then incarnation. It means that's a part of a part of a manifestation, is Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, but within Advaita Acharya is also Sada Shiva, Mahesh, Lord Shiva. Because we can't, again, it is a difficult conception for us to conceive of how a person can be two people, because materially speaking, this is impossible. But on the transcendental plane, this is not impossible. And so Lord Advaita Acharya is like that. Then Gadadhar is Srimati Radharani appears in this form as Gadadhar. And Narada Muni appears as a devotee. Not a confidential devotee, a devotee. A confidential devotee means somebody who is serving Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani in Madhurya Ras. Because this is the most confidential of all mellows. So Srivas, he lived here, and in this place, in Nimai's early, when he was young, he would come here regularly and visit, and there was a garden nearby where they would pick flowers and they would talk and so forth. But Nimai was very proud because he was so scholarly, and he was like a champion scholar. In fact, there was one time he was so proud that Srivas Pandit called him pride personified. He said, "Oh my, you're the embodiment of pride," because he was so pleased with himself because he could defeat anyone. And he used to come and harass the Vaishnavas. Harass means that They only want to talk about Krishna. They only want to think about Krishna. They only want to chant. They only want to hear about Krishna, serve Krishna. And he wanted to go through all the intricacies of logic. So this was what his specialty was. So he would ask them a question, and they would try to avoid him. Especially Gadadhar, he liked to tease Gadadhar. Gadadhar, what is the... They'd ask him a question. Gadadhar would usually say something like, of course only you understand the answer to this question. And he'd say, no, try. Just answer the question. So he'd answer the question, and then he'd say, of course that's wrong. And he would refute the whole thing, and he'd go backwards and forwards and presenting all sorts of Sanskrit changes of meanings and so forth. And Gadadhar would be thinking, yes, you're correct. He would say, yes, you're right. And then he'd go, no, I'm not. And then he would go back and he would refute his own argument and refute it back to the one before. And Gadadhar would be thinking, he's such a nice boy, but he's so attractive. But why does he waste his time like this? Just arguing, proving points, finding things to annoy the Vaishnavas about. And one time Mukunda, another one of Nimai's very close associates who went with him also to Jagannath Puri, Mukunda was walking on one of the pathways, and Nimai was coming along with his school friends. They all had their books under their arms and they were feeling very pleased. And Nimai hastened forward to meet Mukunda, and Mukunda saw him coming and said, quickly duck down a side path, and he was going very quickly in another direction. And Nimai saw him and he said, you see that, Mukunda? He doesn't want to meet me. He's going out of his way to avoid me. This is because he's a Vaishnava. He thinks he's such a Vaishnava, he said. But he said, I will show him. I will become such a Vaishnava one day that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will come and worship me. But still nobody really understood what he was saying. And then the Lord went to Gaya to do the Pinda ceremony for his father. But whilst he was there, he met for the second time, actually, Ishwara Puri, because Ishwara Puri had come one time to Navadvip. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him that time also, he became very taken by his exalted qualities. And Ishwara Puri was very, very humble, very renounced, but he sang very beautifully, and he was very moved by the Vaishnava association here. And one time he gave Nimai one book. He said, you're such a good scholar. You're so expert in all of these areas. Please, if you can edit my writing, I have written this book, you can correct it. And immediately, even though he was so arrogant with Ishwara Puri, he said, I cannot. Anything that a pure Vaishnava writes cannot be edited, especially not by me. I cannot. And Ishwara Puri said to him, no, please, you can help me by doing this. So he found one little thing, some verb or something. And when he came, he said, this is not the right word to be used here. And then Ishwara Puri very, very, very skillfully and very, very humbly corrected him. He said, actually, this is the right word to be used here, and explained to him why. So Nimai's pride was very much humbled in front of Ishwara Puri. So when he arrived in Gaya, Ishwara Puri was there. And when he met him again, first when he saw at Gaya, the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which is where all the worship is given, he suddenly became overtaken with very, very intense, deep, transcendental emotion for the lotus feet of the Lord. And he started weeping and trembling and sighing and crying and rolling on the ground and all sorts of ecstatic emotions that had never, ever, ever been part of his behavior before suddenly manifest. And then at that place he met again Ishwara Puri. And he stayed there for 3 days and he invited Ishwara Puri to come. And he came one day to take lunch together. And then confidentially Nimai asked him, please, I want to become initiated by you. So Ishwara Puri, then he gave his consent to initiate him. And when Lord Chaitanya returned from there to here, he was a completely different person. He first of all didn't want to come back here. He wanted to go immediately to Vrindavan. And he set off in a very wild, impulsive way to find Krishna. But then he was reminded by a disembodied voice that actually in this incarnation he had work to do. He had to return to Navadvip. So then he returned here. But he was completely, totally immersed in, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And he told all the devotees, he said, he came to this place where everyone would pick their flowers, where Sriman Pandit and all the other devotees who would do for their puja, they would pick from one vine, that no matter how many flowers everyone picked, there was always more. So they were picking their flowers and they were all talking amongst themselves and said, "Do you know, Nimai came back from Gaya and he's different. He's quite different. Really, he's different." Yes, and they were discussing this. It was very big news because they were always thinking, "He's so attractive. If only he was a Vaishnava, he would be such a powerful Vaishnava, but he's so hard for us to tolerate. But if only he would change." So they said, "He has changed." So then Lord Chaitanya, he called Sriman Pandit and he said, "You come to the house of Suklambai Brahmachari." He said, "There I will reveal to you the great grief within my heart." And so then some of the devotees who were invited, they came to this place. And when they came, Gadadhar Pandit also came and he hid in a back room because he wanted to hear what Lord Chaitanya was saying. So Lord Chaitanya started describing how he had gone to Gaya, and he had developed his love for Krishna, and he was looking for Krishna, and he was mad, practically, what he was describing. Where is Krishna? And then he's left me, I cannot find him. Where is he? And he started falling on the ground, crying and crying. And the Vaishnavas were all astonished to see this mood. It was so deep. And they did not have such a deep mood as he had. And where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And crying and crying and crying. And from that time on, he was completely different. All the time chanting, "Where is Krishna? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." He went back to teach. He had been a teacher before that of students. He came back and he started teaching, but he couldn't teach anymore. He was all the grammar and everything, he would just talk about Krishna. Krishna, this means Krishna, that means Krishna, and that means Krishna, and this is Krishna too, and that also is Krishna. And the students were all like, "What is this? He was so clever, he was so tricky and everything. Now he's just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." So this went on for some days, and sometimes he would weep and weep and weep. Sometimes he would faint. And finally, after different very emotive experiences by the students, that he said, "What have I taught you?" And they said, "You haven't taught us anything. You just keep saying Krishna, Krishna." And then Nimai, he tied up his books to end his career as a teacher of grammar. And from then on, he was no longer in this mood. Now he was deeply immersed in the mood of a devotee. So after some time, the devotees were still carrying on their devotional activities. And Lord Chaitanya began to meet with them. And then after some time they began to have kirtan during the day. And one day Lord Chaitanya said, "We have kirtan during the day, we read and chant all day, but then at night we have to sleep? What a waste of time. Why do we have to sleep at night? Let us have kirtan at night as well." So they would all come here to Srivas Thakur's house. And there was a big fence and a courtyard and a gateway here. And Lord Chaitanya would only let in those who were very, very, very close associates. Not just anyone, only his very intimate associates. Any of his intimate associates were welcome, but not just the general public could come. And he would select very, very carefully who would come. And so for 1 year they had kirtan like this every night. During that time it is sometimes said that kirtan here, it is explained, was just like the Rasa Leela performance of Krishna in Vrindavan. So somewhere it was written that when Lord Chaitanya was dancing, each of the devotees would see him according to their own incarnation, whom they worshipped. If someone was a worshipper of Ram, they would see Lord Ram in him. If they were worshipping Narayan, they would see Narayan. If they were worshipping according to their own inner sentiments, they would see Lord Chaitanya. But his inner sentiments were like that of Radha and Krishna together. So here he would dance. He would come and they would anoint him with sandalwood. They would place beautiful garlands around his neck. And they would dress him very nicely. And then he would start to dance. And you can only just imagine what it would be like. He would dance and twirl. And he would be as if he would fly in the sky, sometimes like a firebrand. He would go round and round and round. And sometimes he'd fall on the ground. Sometimes he would leap up in the air. And all the time, tears would be cascading from his eyes in this mood of, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And the other devotees would dance. Sometimes they would dance. Sometimes they would watch him dance. Sometimes they would all dance together. But throughout the whole night, imagine what ecstasy it would be that would make you dance all night. Because for us, if we were to think for 1 year from now on, we're going to stay up all night and dance and all day as well, we would all be feeling a little weary. Oh, I don't know about my back, you know. Let me find a wall to sit against while you have the kirtan. We would be feeling lethargic. But they were dancing and dancing and dancing, so one can't even imagine the excited, transcendental atmosphere that was present here at Sri Vasangam. Amazing dancing and chanting. Till after 2 a.m., every day they would dance all night, and then they would tell Nimai, now it's time to go home. So then he would go to his house, and Satyadevi would think, what did they do every night? He's there all the time. He's always dancing and chanting. And she would see he's always crying and falling on the ground and falling on the ground. Maybe something is wrong with him. So one time she went and she started asking people, because she was very simple. And she asked different people in Navadvip, what's wrong with my son? He's come back from Gaya. He faints all the time. He rolls on the ground all the time. He's crying and crying, and he doesn't do anything anymore. What's wrong with him? And so they gave their opinions. And one person said, actually, this is a wind disorder. So you should give him this medicine, and this medication will be very helpful for him. And somebody said, yes, it is a disruption of the life airs. You should give him Shiva ghee. You should soak him in this ghee. And somebody else said, he's mad, you should tie him up. You tie him up and keep him under control. And she was listening to so many people. And finally she came to Srivas Thakur. And she said, I've heard so many things, Nimai, this. What do you think? Is he mad? And Srivas Thakur said, ha, if we could only have this madness, if we were so fortunate as to have the madness that he has, then we would all be very happy, because his madness is madness of love of God. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, he said, if you had told my mother that yes, it is true, he's mad like everybody else, I would have run to the Ganga and drowned myself. So Srivas, he understood the mood of Lord Chaitanya very clearly. But still the chanting here and dancing and the noise, all night dancing, chanting, playing mridangas, so many mridangas, kartals, and so much noise. The materialistic devotees in this area, the materialistic scholarly people of Navadvip, some of them were very envious, they wanted to come inside. And others became very annoyed, all night this chanting, we can't sleep. And they threatened that we'll tell the Qazi, the Nawab, and the Qazi who lived just not far from here, we'll tell him about all this noise, and he'll come, and he will send his soldiers, and they will come, and they will take you all to the court of the king, and then they will try you, and then you'll all be in trouble. So Srivas would worry about this sometimes, that what will happen if the soldiers come. And one day, Lord Chaitanya, who was walking on the bank of the Ganga here, and Srivas was very disturbed, and he was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadeva. And he was praying to him because he wanted that nothing should happen, no disturbance should take place. And all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya, for the first time, he decided to exhibit his mood of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They had not seen this before. Prior to that, when he came back from Gaya, he was in the mood of a very humble devotee. He was so humble, he would wash the devotees' clothes and fold them up for them. He would carry things for them. He would do anything for them. And the devotees were so amazed. He's such a wonderful, humble Vaishnava. But now he wanted to exhibit his mood of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he came running to the house of Srivas Pandit here. And he kicked at the door. And he came in. And he said, Srivas, Srivas, the same person who you are worshipping and praying to. It is I. And he sat down and he told Srivas, don't be frightened of anything. Don't be frightened of the Nawab. Don't be frightened of anything. And then he said to Srivas, Srivas, if you're frightened of the Nawab, you should know that I'm in his heart and I can stop him. But if somehow or other I can't stop him and he comes here with his men And if somehow or other he arrests you and takes you to the king's palace, then I will go with you. And he said, and if we get to the king's palace, then I will make the king, I will calm the mind of the king. But if the king's mind is not calmed, then I will say, bring so many animals and bring them all in front of us here and make them, tell your pundits, get these animals to dance and chant in ecstasy. And they'll try to make them dance in ecstasy and the animals won't be able to. And then I will tell the animals, chant, 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 and the animals will cry and roll, the elephants and the tigers and the lions will all roll on the ground, and the king will understand who I am. So don't be frightened of anything. Don't have any fear. Go on with the chanting of the holy names without any fear. So after that time, soon after that time, one night when they were having this nocturnal kirtan, the Lord sat down on the altar of Shiva's Pandit and he went into a trance of the same spirit of being the Supreme Lord. And everybody saw him. Not only Shrivas, but everybody realized now he wanted to reveal his actual identity. And for 21 hours he sat there in a trance. He was no longer like Nimai Pandit that they knew. He was in the mood of the Supreme Lord. And everybody who came to him, everybody, he said, come and I'll give you a benediction. Whatever you want, come and ask for it. And then he told different people, you know when this happened to you, you know when that happened to you, you know when you were in difficulty and somebody came and helped you, it was me. It was me. It was I who did it. And the devotees were amazed because they realized who he was and how he had been amongst them all this time, and they had never understood actually who he was. So from then on, the kirtans here were very, very powerful. This is this here, you can see. I think this is the Mahaprakash here with Lord Chaitanya sitting. And the devotees are sitting, are standing around him, where he revealed his form as the Supreme Lord. And then, soon after that, as we know, Nittai decided that he wanted that this chanting should not be only for these very, very close associates of Mahaprabhu, that everybody should get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he decided to choose fit people for Lord Chaitanya's first benediction upon the fallen souls. So as we know the story of Jagai and Madhai, Nityananda, he approached them in the street and asked them to chant Hare Krishna. They became enraged. And as a result of that, then he managed to bring Lord Chaitanya, because Madhai hit him and drew blood on his forehead. He brought Lord Chaitanya out after that. And Lord Chaitanya then was able to be seen by all the people. Soon after that also, the Chand Kazi came here personally to Srivastavanam and broke the drum. He said, no more of this Sankirtan, no more chanting out in the streets. No more of this. You have to stop this. And he broke a Madanga drum. And then Lord Chaitanya said, we will show the Kazi something. And so he organized everyone in Navadvip, the whole town. He told them, you come tonight, you bring lanterns, a stick with some cloth wrapped around it, dipped in oil, light it and bring it. We'll have all these lamps and torches. And we'll go in a massive Harinam procession to the Chankazi's house. And this is what he did. And thousands and millions of people, practically speaking, joined that Harinam that night. And all of Navadvip, they left their doors open. They didn't even lock up their valuables. They just walked out. And he was leading, so beautiful, like a lion, dancing in the center at the front. And all the people of Navadvip came behind in this procession. And when they got to the Chankazi's house, the Chankazi naturally was afraid. And the people, so the Prabhupada says, those who could not control their minds very well, they became very angry with Chankazi for coming and breaking the Madanga. And so they immediately went and started breaking down the plants of his garden and smashing things outside his house. And he was well and truly hiding. So then Nimai, he came up to the door and he said, I want to speak to the Kazi. And then his men said, oh, he's not here. And then he said, you ask him to come down. So he came down, looking very nervous. And then when he came down, Lord Chaitanya engaged in debate with him. He challenged him on certain points, particularly on the eating of cows. And the Chandkazi responded with from his Shastra. And they went backwards and forwards and had a very scholarly, very dignified exchange between the two, like uncle and nephew. And then at the end, after this discussion, then the Chandkazi admitted, yes, there are faults in our religious practices, in our system. But I have to, for our community, I have to set a good example. So I have to uphold the validity of the scriptures. So then Nimai Pandit said, yes, I can understand that. He said, I can understand. But please explain to me one other thing I can't understand. And that is, if you are the Qazi, how is it that in your kingdom, you're a Muslim magistrate, you're a Muslim governor, how is it that everybody is chanting Hare Krishna all the time? There's Sankirtan going on freely everywhere. And then the Qazi says, well, yes, actually, I should explain that to you. He said, after I came and I broke the drum, I came home and that night I went to sleep. And in my dream that night, I saw this very, very ferocious lion. This huge lion appeared. And I was lying on the bed and this lion was sitting on my chest with huge long nails. And the lion was so angry. And the lion said, if you ever disturb the Sankirtan of the holy name again, I will completely destroy you. And he had this long claws and he was like this. And he put his claws on my chest and he said, I will destroy you. And I'm lying there. And all your family. And he said, I was so frightened. He said, look and I'll show you. And he showed him the marks on his chest. The claw marks were on his chest. And then he said, and so from that time, he said, then two of my soldiers came in and they had stopped a kirtan somewhere. And they came running in and their beards were burnt. Because you can always tell a Muslim because they have like a goat's beard. So they came running in and they said, look, we were stopping the kirtan and a great fire came and went whoosh and burnt off our beards and burnt our face. Look at the blisters on our face. So then he said, nobody wants to chant. And then he said, after that, the people, Muslims, kept coming to me and saying, you know, the Sankirtan is bothering us. You know, we're constantly chanting, Hare, 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 all the time, Hare, Hare, Hare. And I said to my people, I said, I can understand that the Hindus are chanting, Hare, Hare, but you are also, you're all the time chanting. And they said, yes, we don't know what to do. It's like some magic. Now we just keep chanting, Hare, 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 Hare also. And so in this way, by the power and mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement was begun. And we'll perhaps have a chance maybe on our way out to stop at the Chandkazi's place, if we go that way. We can stop at that place. There's still to that day, there's two trees. One is a neem tree, I think, and the other is a kadamba tree. I think it's a champak tree. And those two trees are entwined. And those trees have been there since the time of Lord Chaitanya's discussion with the Chandkazi. And the Chandkazi was asked by Lord Chaitanya to make a decree that none of his descendants, his further in his family, anyone in his family, for all time, that they would ever interfere with the Harinam Sankirtan here in Navadvip. And Srila Prabhupada comments that even during the Hindu-Muslim riots, even at that time, the descendants of the Qazi didn't do anything to disturb the chanting of the holy name. So these are all pastimes related to the chanting and to the pastimes connected with Sri Vasangam. I don't know if we'll have time to go there, but over here we see small temple of Advaita Acharya's house. Here he had two houses, one in Shantipur and one here in Navadvip as a very respectable brahmana. And he prayed from here that Lord Chaitanya would appear. And he went to the Ganga here, and he made all his offerings and prayers with the Ganga water, and with an unbreakable resolve, he was determined he was going to get the Lord to appear. Because he saw the degradation, even of Navadvip, how they were so scholarly, it was such a pious place, but nobody was interested in pure devotion. They were all interested in making money and getting their children married and having big dowries and on and on and on and on, but nothing for Krishna. So Advaita Acharya saw them as very fallen. What to speak of today? It's inconceivable to imagine what Advaita Acharya would think if he happened to be visiting some of the major cities of the world today, what he would think how fallen people are now. So he prayed that Lord Chaitanya, that the Lord would advent himself, because only the Lord himself could purify the people who were suffering in this way. And when Lord Chaitanya did reveal himself, Advaita Acharya wasn't present at first. And then Lord Chaitanya said, go get him, call him from Shantipur and bring him here. So one devotee went to go and see Advaita Acharya and bring him. I think it was Sriman Pandit. And when they came nearby, Advaita said, I'm going to hide in the house of Nandan Acharya, which is on the other side of our land. And I want to see if Lord Chaitanya is really my Lord. If he really is, he'll know where I am. But don't tell him, just go back and say Advaita has said he's coming. So then Sriman Pandit came to the Lord and said, Advaita Acharya, he's coming. And then Lord Chaitanya said, you go and tell him to come immediately from the house of Nandan Acharya and come here and worship me. And he was very strong, and he said, he called me here, he woke me up, I was sleeping on the milk ocean, and he called me here, you tell him to come immediately here and perform my worship. So Advaita Acharya was very happy to hear this. So then also Advaita Acharya, he was many times disturbed because Lord Chaitanya would offer respects to him as an Acharya, as a senior Brahmin. So he made different arrangements that Lord Chaitanya would sometimes become angry with him. And one of them was when he decided that he was trying to think, what would make Lord Chaitanya upset with me, displeased with me? So he would stop this, offering all this respect, because he felt himself as a servant. So you can imagine if you feel yourself as a servant and somebody's your very great and dear master, and they keep making you tricking you and calling you the master, you want them to be the master. So this was his mood. So he decided that what he should do was he should preach impersonal philosophy, because this would be very, very, very displeasing to Lord Chaitanya. So he went back to Shantipur and he began to preach so actively. And Haridas Thakur, who was there, he understood immediately what was taking place, and he laughed and laughed as he heard Advaita Acharya explaining that impersonal realization was higher than anything, and bhakti depended on gyan. If you didn't have gyan, what was the use of bhakti? And so many statements like this against the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about this, he became so angry that he and Nityananda came all the way to Shantipur, and he raced into the courtyard where Advaita Acharya was sitting on the asana and teaching in this way. And he grabbed him and he said, let me ask you one thing. Is gyan higher or is bhakti higher? And Advaita Acharya said, yes, actually, he said, bhakti depends always upon gyan. And Lord Chaitanya took him and he picked him up, and he was so angry, and he took him out to the courtyard and he pushed him down and he started punching him and punching him. And his wife came running out, Sita Takarani, and she's saying, please, please, he's an old man, you'll kill him, please, don't beat him anymore, don't beat him, please don't beat him. And Lord Chaitanya was so angry he couldn't control himself. And then he revealed everything. He started saying, I was sleeping on the milk ocean and you called me here, and I am this and I am that. And he started speaking everything about his own glories. And the Advaita Acharya was very happy because he had actually got Lord Chaitanya. Because he kept saying, he's a cheater, he's a supreme cheater, because he wasn't revealing who he was. So then he realized, I've got the cheater to reveal who he was. And one time when Lord Chaitanya fainted, Lord Advaita Acharya, he had seen Lord Chaitanya was lying down. He took some of the dust of his feet. He said, now I have cheated the cheater. So this was the loving relationship between Advaita Acharya, who was very senior to Lord Chaitanya, and the other Vaishnavas here. And a little on Gadadha Pandit, and then I think probably we'll go straight to the Chaitanya Mahat. Gadadha Pandit was a school friend of Lord Chaitanya. He was very gentle and quiet and always very sober, and they always spent time together. Gadadha Pandit also became initiated by Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was a very great Vaishnava who came from East Bengal. And Pundarik in Krishna Leela is actually Bishop Bhanu Maharaj, and of course Gadadha Pandit in Krishna Leela is Srimati Radharani. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was from Mukunda, friend of Gadadha's. He knew him from his childhood place. And Pundarik was a landowner, a very wealthy, aristocratic man, elderly gentleman. And he wore his hair very nicely dressed with oil and very, very fine clothes. And he was always chewing pan, so his lips were very reddish. And he looked in every way like a materialistic person, actually. Although even Lord Chaitanya one time was crying out, "Oh Pundarik, my Pundarik, when are you coming?" So everybody knew Pundarik was somebody, but when they saw him, he didn't look very renounced. So Mukunda decided to bring Gadadha to meet him. And so they went to his place. And when Gadadha came in, he looked at him, and in his mind he was thinking, he must be like a materialistic Vaishnava, because he looks so worldly. He was sitting on a beautiful throne. He had hookers on either side there. He had beautiful trays of so many delights to eat. He had a beautiful canopied bed with pearls hanging down. He looked like really, really, really a materialistic person. And then Mukunda could understand that Gadadha had some doubt about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So then Mukunda, who sang very beautifully, he started to sing one verse, which is a verse from the Bhagavatam, which glorifies how merciful Krishna is, because he's so merciful even to Putana, who was coming to kill him, and still he gave her the position of mother. So Mukunda began to sing this Bhagavatam verse, and when Pundarik heard the verse, he went into a very deep ecstatic trance. And in that deep ecstatic trance, from that mood, very, very deep, he became very still. Then he started to go into a wildly ecstatic trance where he was tossing and flailing and he was knocking things everywhere, and this thing went that way and that thing went this way, and the table went over and the food went everywhere and the hookers went flying and his hair was all, and his clothes, and he was tearing and rolling on the ground, and he went into this incredibly deep, transcendentally emotional state. And it took 5 or 6 men were trying to calm him and hold him down, and still they couldn't, as he was moving this way and that way in emotional feelings brought about by hearing this verse. And Gadadha Pandit was watching this, and for some hours he remained unconscious in this way. And when he came back to consciousness, Gadadha Pandit was thinking to himself that actually I committed like an offense to him, because I thought he was just a materialistic person. But Mukunda, he said to Mukunda, "You saved me, because you showed me by doing that, by singing that verse, you gave me an insight into what is actually his position." So he thought, "I have not been as yet initiated, so I will accept him as my spiritual master." So Gadadha Pandit took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And as we were saying, in the beginning he was very much busy avoiding Vishvambhar. But after Lord Chaitanya came back from being in Gaya, Gadadha Pandit was practically speaking constantly with him. All the time he would spend with him. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya would say, "Gadadhar, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And Gadadhar would say, "He's in your heart." And then the Lord would start, "He's in my heart, he's in my heart." And with his hands and his nails, he would start scratching at his skin, trying, "Where is he? Where is he? I want him, I want him." And then Gadadha would hold him and calm him down, and say, "No, no, don't be patient. He's coming, he's coming." He was expertly able to deal with all the very, very intense moods of Lord Chaitanya's loving sentiments. So Sachimata said to Gadadha, "Please, you just stay with my Nimai all the time. only you are expert enough to be able to actually pacify him and keep him in such a mood. So these are just a small amount of the unlimited pastimes of these transcendental personalities that took place in this particular area. So this is, again, we go back to, as we did yesterday, to the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has made it possible for us to come here to these places and actually hear these pastimes in the transcendental atmosphere, and also to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for establishing the temple worship and the deity worship in these various special places. So I think we can stop.